We'll continue one more day, if we can, on the topic of Din Vaday and Din Safek. I mentioned to you last week the Shem Shmaitita. I just want to read it with you again. It's pretty much exactly what we did, but in case you want to add it to your records, you're invited to photocopy it here. Hikshu. Lo HaRambam Safik Mamza the Kosov Rahmana Letera Kidi Isabi Perika So Yixin Kral Lomali Kavan the Kol Hasfekos Enom Ela Midivrehem, which means that according to the Rambam on a Doraisa level, Safik is Lakula. So a Safik Mamza therefore is Lakula. So if let's say a Bas Yisrael wants to marry a Safik Mamza, according to Torah law, she can certainly marry him. So why is it necessary for the Gemara in Asor Yuchsin to bring a special Yalfusa to be Matir a Safik Mamzer? Anyway, a Safik Mamzer is Mutu Midin Safik Doraisa Lakula Midoraisa in all the Yisurim. Vamarit Chelik Beis Sif Yud Aleph Tirates the Chi Sharia Rachmanis Safek Mamza Legamre Sharia. Interesting. In other words, it's Safek Lakula based on this Yalfusa in both directions. He says, number one, Shiyia B'Toras Vaday Shiyia Muter Be Bas Yisrael, and then again, it's Shiyia B'Toras Vaday Shiyia Muter Be Mamzeres. So at the same time, this Safek Mamza is in a very unique situation. You know, if I were to test a yeshiva bach or some sort of a Ripley's Believe It or Not kind of quiz test and ask him when would a person be allowed to marry both a Bas Yisrael or a mamzeres, he said, so the answer would be according to my written Rambam in a case of a Safek Mamza. Safek Mamza has the best of both worlds. He can marry a Bas Yisrael because he's Mutav Torah's father. He can marry a Mamzeres because he's a Mamzer Torah's father, which is fascinating. And that's what I wanted to show you, that there is such a thing as a Tarat Disastri.
Interesting.
The two Din Vada, I said, are mutually exclusive. And we said this about an androgynous, if you remember, the same kind of idea. That, in certain dinim he's a Zohar Vadai, and we can be Mater Mila V'Shabbos. In certain dinim he's in a Keva Vadai, and he becomes a Gadol, or she becomes a Gadol at the age of Yud Beis. So that's how I want to just add that I saw this for the record. Now, I need a copy of the Brisker Rav on the Rambam. I don't...
Mamza can marry yourself with a Mamza.
Yeah.
You have to go crazy.
Yeah,
right.
Because Mimanashach, either way, it could be Mutter. That's okay.
I could say it's also.
Like you have to teach you the code.
Because beforehand, in computation, Safek Mamza and Safek Mamza is us.
Correct. Correct, because it might
be one
more Mamza and one's the other. Right. Now, Rabosai, as far as the Brisker Rav is concerned, he talks about Chatos Ofa Bola Safek. I don't have access to the Brisker Rav today. And Yechiel's not here to get it for me from the computer, but please make a note of it so that we can pick it up Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. And that's the Brisker Rav on Hilchos Mechusar Kapora, Perek Aleph Halacha He. So I'm mentioning that so that you will either get me a copy of the Brisker Rav, or I'll get a copy of Mirtz Hashem, and remind me that that's what we want to do. What I'd really like to study with you now is the question of ksamim. And Alan, you're very oriented in this, so for you it may be a chazara, but for those who aren't so oriented in the laws of ksamim, which is something that we studied here over the course of the last few months, this is a fascinating question, which again fits into this category called b'toras safek or b'toras vadai. What are we talking about? So to give the most basic, sketchy overview or background to ksamim, we know that according to Shmuel in Masechta Nidah Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, perhaps the single most famous and important line in the entire Masechta Nidah, Shmuel says that you need, in order for a woman to be tmeya and asura b'toras nidah, you need dam be hargosha. If she didn't have hargosha, then the Torah was matir such dam. However, the Rabbanan asin, and that's called ksamim. So ksamim means she finds a stain and she didn't have argosha. And the Rabbanan said that she's tmeah. Now, in order to understand how far-reaching this, you know, the parameters and the definition of this Isur Ksamim is concerned, we want to refer to a Yerushalmi. Why do we need this Yerushalmi? I mean, there's so much in the Bavli about Ksamim. The Yerushalmi, at the beginning of the second parak of Orla, has an analysis of Dmai. And in that context, the Yerushalmi says that the definition of Dmai depends upon the definition of Ksamim. And we want to understand the nature of that tlut, of that interdependence. So let's go slowly. What's Dmai? Dmai means that I buy produce from an Amoritz. I don't know if he was Mafresh Maaseh or if he wasn't Mafresh Maaseh. On a Torah level, we can rely on Rov, and the principle goes, Rov Ami Haaretz Ma'asrim Hem. So there is no suffix here. On a Doraisa level, I can rely on Rov, and I don't have to be Mafrish, Trumas, and Maestris in the case of Demai. The Rabbanan came along, and they said, no, that when you buy Tvua from an Amoritz, you have to be Mafrish, Trumas, and Maestros, and that's a rabbinic requirement based on the fact that the Chacham are not going to rely on Rov. They know that there's a certain miut of Amiyaretz that are not Ma'aser, and we're worried about that miut, and therefore we have to be Mafresh, Trumas, and Maestros.
Rabbi,
Good, so even an Amoritz has an Emunah, as you point out very well, of Erecha Nem Bisurin. But the question is, if I don't know in the absence of knowledge, then it becomes Dmai.
Okay.
Now keep in mind that Rav Yosef Engel in Asvin Doraisa, this is called Vav, he has a whole interesting suffix. What happens if a person ate Dmai without being Mafresh and it turns out that the Amoritz was Mafresh? So on one level, he didn't do anything evil because it wasn't Tevel. But on the other hand, the Rabbanan had required of him to be Mafresh. So we'll get back to the Asmid Oraisa. He wants to shtel to the whole sugya of Hiskavin Lechol Basar Chazir Viola Viyoto Basar Tlev. Fine. So I'm just mentioning it at the outset because I'm going to likely forget to get back to it. So you'll please remind me. So what does Yerushalmi want to know? Okay, so let's get some of the basics. Truma, if it gets mixed up with chulin in a taroves, and I'm a Yisrael, I can't eat the truma, so the din of truma is that it's batel bi'echad b'me'ah, meaning the normal mechanism of bitul b'shishim was suspended because of the chumrah of truma. Truma is an Isur Kares, an Isur Misa B'dei Shamayim, it's an Avera Chabura, and therefore they jacked up the requirement of Bittel. The Yerushalmi, at the beginning of the second parak of Orla, vacillates on the following question. What's the deal with Truma of Dmai? It works like this, that when you buy Dmai, you have to assume Midrabanan that it's Tevel. And therefore you have to be Mafresh Maser from the Dmai, that's obvious. You're not going to rely on the Rov. The Rabbanan said not to. And not only that, you'll have to take Truma from the Maser, because Maser is also obligated in Truma. And the Truma of Maser has the same status as regular Truma. So again, if it was classical Trumas Maser, meaning I gave Maser to the Levi, and the Levi was Mafresh Truma for the Kohen, if that Truma gets mixed up in a Taroves, we need Bittel B'me'ah V'echad. That's for sure. But what happens in the case where I was Mafresh Maser, not from Tevel Vadai, but from Tevel Midivreyem, meaning from Dmai? Now, with that Maser, I take off Truma, and what's the status of that Truma? It's only Derabbanan. So l'chora pashtus, if that truma gets mixed up in a taroves, we should not have to jack up the requirement of bittel all the way to me'ah v'yachas, because it doesn't have the chumrah of truma De'oraisa, which as we said before is a very severe violation, it's only true with the Rabbanan, l'chora, it should be batel b'shishim. However, Yushalmi says that whether or not it'll be batel b'shishim depends upon a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in Ksamim. Wild, a wild Yushalmi. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in Masechta Nida on Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis. If I have a chance, B'li Neder, I'll look up the sugya inside. But the question is whether or not we treat a kesem midrabanan again in the same way that we would treat dam nida. And if a woman, for example, has a Re'ias Dam Nida, then she has the status of a Zava. In fact, again, this is all based on Sugis and Nida. What it means is that if she sees a Kesem, if we assume that that Kesem has the same din as a Re'ias Dam, then that Kesem will be Sosa called Zion, and she'll have to start Zion Nikim all over again. And the Gemara records a machlokes about how far we go with ksamim. Rabbi Meir goes all the way, v'chayshina mishum zov. And the Chacham say, ein v'ksamim mishum zov. And now the Yushalmi comes along and says that machlokes, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, will determine the status of Dmai as far as Trumas Maisa Shel Dmai, whether it's Batel, whether it requires Bitel b'shishim v'yechot. So what I have in front of me here, which I'll give you the photocopy, I think, Alan, you should already have in your files a photocopy of this, because we did this in the Nida Shirim. I have an article written by Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita, and it's republished in Be'ikvei Atzon, which is a book that anthologizes a lot of his different articles that he wrote. And he wants to figure out what is the connection here between Demai and Ksamim. The only external connection that we could find is that in both cases we're dealing with a Chumrah and Issa Derabbanan. But beyond that, it doesn't seem to make sense to have some sort of internal, you know, correlation or interdependence of these two sugyas. One is the sugya in Dam Nida and Ksamim without Argosha. The other is the sugya in Demai and Tevel. And basically, Rav Schechter in this article develops two approaches. The first approach, he says, only makes sense according to Rashi. There's a fundamental machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos about Ksamim. Rashi holds that Ksamim is Dilma Argashov Alava Daite, that in Ksamim the Rabbanu were afraid that maybe she did have Argosh, in fact, which makes the Re'ias Dam in Amokar, which is Metame Adoraisa, but she didn't pay attention to it. She was distracted. Tosa says that even if we would know, and he has a case where we know that she didn't have a Hargosha, nevertheless the Rabbanon would be metami her. So based on Rashi's Shita, that Rashi holds is always a Chashash, that maybe she had Hargosha, Rav Schechter develops an approach that we're wondering whether or not the Rabbanon were machmir in this case where perhaps she had Argosha, to treat it as if it were Tuma d'oraisa, meaning the Rabbanon, it's considered Dam Nidus d'oraisa. And in Dmai, that would mean, if we have a parallel, that Midrabbana we considered as if there was no Rove, and that for sure he wasn't Mafrish the Maaser, and therefore it's Tevel Doraisa. And that's going to have many, many repercussions in. But then, the part that's most interesting for us, most relevant. Speak a drop, Lana Herb, if you don't mind. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry if you could speak a drop, Lana. Correct. That if the Rabbanan are actually worried about Dam Nida Bargosha Doraisa, or in the case of Dmai, about Tevel Doraisa, then we have to treat it in a whole different way. We have to upgrade it to all the chumras that apply in both cases, whether it's to Dam Nida Doraisa with Argosha, or whether it's to a case where the Amoritz was not Mafresh Maser, makes it into Tevel Doraisa. And therefore, for example, in Trumas Maisa Shel Dmai, we're going to have to be Machmir the same way we would be in Truma Doraisa, require Bittel B'Meah. And that's going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. But what's more interesting to me is that Rav Schechter points out that as far as Tosis is concerned, we have to come up with an entirely different explanation, because Tosfos holds that even though we know she didn't have hargosha, nevertheless the Rabbanan were metamei a kesem, and in that case there's no issue here about bringing up resurrecting from the dead some sort of doraisa, because she didn't have hargosha, and we accept Shmuel's principle that down below hargosha is not metame. So it must be that the Rabbanan created a brand new entity called the Tumah of Ksamim. So what then is the Yushalmi talking about when it creates this interdependence between the status of Ksamim and the status of Dmai? The machlokas of Rabbi Meir and the Chacham is going to determine in both cases what the din is. And here Rav Shechta says the following, and that's what's most relevant to our discussion today. He says the following: according to Tosfos, it could very well be that the reason for the gzera in the case, for example, of Demai, is because we really don't know for sure whether the Amoritz was mafrish or not mafrish. That's fine. That's what Rav Shechta calls the tam hagzera, meaning what motivated the Rabbanon to generate this new category of Demai. But he says there's another question that we have to ask, and that is, once the Rabbanon were worried about that possibility, what did they create? What was not the tam hagzera, but as he calls it, the geder hagzera, or the toras hagzera, the etzem hagzera? Are you following me? I think we've discussed this kind of concept in the past, that sometimes what motivates the chachamim is X, but what they create is something different, it's Y. You know, and the Y has a life of its own, a definition of its own, that's not dependent on the tam. It goes way beyond the tam. Are you with me so far? So he wants to say the following, and he quotes Rabbi Chanan in Kovetz Ha'aris in Yevamos, which I don't have access to today, as to what the getter of Demai is. Is the getter of Demai a din vadai, or it's a din suffik? Meaning, when the Rabbanan said you have to be mafrish maser from Demai, what were they saying? What were they saying is that midrabbanan we treat this as vadai tevel, or were they saying that since we don't know if he was mafrish, treat it l'chumra as suffik tevel? I'll give you an example. Again, what I'm about to tell you is absolutely wrong, but logically it's correct. Would you make a bracha on afrashas maser min Demai? If you say that the Rabbanan are only worried about a suffix, then in a suffix situation we don't make a bracha. But if on the other hand the Rabbanan instituted a Torah's vada, even though what motivated them, the tam hagzera, was suffix, then the Torah's vada, we have a new chiyuv the Rabbanan of being mafrish trumas of maestras. And I think, I can't promise you, that that's what Rav Yosef Engel might be saying over here. Nistapakti, he writes, Ksha'omru chazal Lesser Dmai, im ha'isa hukak im ha'amoritz lo iser be'emes. Aval im ha'amoritz iser be'emes, meaning klape shmai galya, that the Amoritz who sold you the produce actually was mafrish maser, then afsha ocha lo yodea, even though I purchased this produce and I don't know whether he was mafrish, but klape shmai he was mafrish, is havi rak kineskaven lechol basar chazir v'olav v'yodo basar. And we have a principle, again, he may need kapora and tshuva for the machshava, but he didn't really violate the Isra. He ate basa tleh, he ate kosher food. Here also, since in fact, as a reality, the Amoritz who sold you the produce was mafrish maser, so you didn't eat tevel, and therefore you ended up with eating basar tleh, not basar chazir. Oh, Dilma, should we say no? Kevon she'asru chachamim achilas d'mai is kol zman she'eini yodea ma'amoritz iser havilei iser be'etzem. And therefore, even though klapei shmaya galya, that the Amoritz who sold you the produce was ma'asir, nevertheless, you violated an iser be'etzem, because the Rabbanan said it's d'mai, and the Rabbanan created this new entity of d'mai. Again, I didn't go through the entire klal here. I'm giving you the opportunity to photocopy. I just want to say this, that I think that maybe the chakira of the Asvin Doraisa could fit very well, you know, could beautifully fit into our chakira as to whether or not the Rabbana, when they instituted Demai, did they do so b'toras Sofek, or do they do so b'toras vada? Again, Kuliyavalo plead that the time of the Gzeira of Tamai was because of Sofek, but did the Rabbanan institute Tamai as a new entity, a new chiyuv hafrosha b'toras Tamai, and that's be etzem of vadai, or no, the Rabbanan just saying be choshish for a Sofek where the Torah itself was not choshish for the Sofek, because the Torah relied on Rove. The Rabbanan said we're not going to rely on Rove, we have to still create a 50-50 kind of Sofek. If it's b'dinei Sfekes, then if it turns out to this guy's luck that the Amoritz who sold him the Mocher sold him was Mafrish Masa, so he lucked out, then he didn't eat Tevel because the Rabbanan only owed Tevel because maybe the Rabbanan only owed Asid Demai because maybe it's Tevel, but it turns out that it wasn't Tevel, so he lucked out. But if I say that the Rabbanan instituted a brand new Gzera called Demai, and now the Rabbanan gave it a din Vadai such that maybe he should make a bracha on Afrash's Demai, because we make a bracha on a Rabbanan, like for example Mora Bisman Azeh, etc., etc., then he has to do tshuva kapar, not just because he had a wrong machshava, but because he did a maisa vera mid rabbanon, because the rabbanon created this new din of dmai, which means that until you're mafrish from the dmai, you're violating an isu tevel mid rabbanon. Alan, you want to give me another minute, and then I'll just have the whole picture. So if this is the question about the nature of dmai, and we'll see that it has various repercussions, for example, in terms of Truma's Maser Shel Dmai, whether or not it has the same Chumra as Truma, if the whole institution was only Mitoras Safek, then we're not recreating a Vadai situation of Truma, and therefore maybe we should be Mekil as far as the standard and the demands of Bittul v'Tarovus. But if on the other hand the Rabbanan created a new Din Tevel, then Mid Rabbanan has the Din of Tevel, then we can apply, as Herb said before, called the Tikkun, the Rabbanan came to Oraisa Tikkun. And the Yushalmi says that this depends upon the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim as far as Ksamim is concerned. Says Rav Shechter, he thinks that the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim as to whether or not we should go as far as to be Choshesh Mishum Zava, that itself depends upon two definitions of the Gzeirat Rabbanan of Ksamim. Again, Tosfos is assuming that we know for sure she didn't have Argosha. So then the Tumah here is non-existent on a Doraisa level. So what did the Rabbanan create over here? And the logical way of saying it, and that's Rabbi Meir's sheet, is the Rabbanan said that even in the absence of Argosha, she is considered Tmeya Bitoras Vadai. Again, it's only the Rabbanan. We always have to keep that in mind. But Bitoras Vadai Mid Rabbanan. Or should we say no? The Chachamim said, you know what? Maybe she did have Argosha in most cases. And therefore, we're going to ask her Mid Rabbanan down below Argosha Bitoras Safek. And the Yerushalmi understands that this issue of Bitoras Vadai, Bitoras Safek in Ksamim, as to how the Rabbanan created this new institution, this new entity called Tumah the Rabbanan in Ksamim, that Safek is the same identical Safek as Dmai. And it's interesting, the language of Yerushalmi is that Rabbi Meir holds Hichmiru Chachamim B'divrayhem Kidivrei Torah. It means that when the Rabbanan created an Isur, they created it the same as a Dvar Torah. So in the case of Demai, they created an Isur Tevel. In the case of Ksamim, they created an Isur of Dam Sheyotza Min HaMokar. And it's Dam Mamish. And it's Mitami V'Torah Svadai. And therefore, in Demai, we're going to have all the Chumras of Truvas Maaseh Shel Demai, because Demai is Tevel Mid Rabbanan V'Torah Svadai. Alan?
Okay, good question.
Does anybody want these pages to photocopy?
Yeah. The one is assuming that it is, that is, with Machlokas, so whether it's Vadi or Tar Safek, if you're going to make a bracha, if it's Misafek, of course you don't make a bracha. But if it's Mitoris Vadi, what bracha do you make?
Right, so you make a shekel shalom, it's also zivon lahafrish truma min admai. But I told you, Alan, that that's not true. What I told you in Shia was just lasaber sa'ozen. It's logically true, but it's not true. The Gemara says that the Rabbanon added certain kulos in demai, and one of them is that we don't make a bracha on afrashas trumas demai. That's a sugya in Masechta Shabbos. Does anybody know what daf? It's a famous daf. It's Chav Gimel. Why is Chav Gimel and Shabbos so famous? Because that's the sugya of my Hanukkah. And in that sugya, the Gemara asks about the bracha ner Hanukkah. And the Gemara says, how can you make a bracha ner Hanukkah? You're saying v'tzivanu, heichan tzivanu. That's where the Gemara gets into this whole issue about making a bracha on a mitzvah d'rabbanon. And the Gemara says, oy bazoy, if there's a bracha on a mitzvah d'rabbanon, like Hanukkah, Purim, etc., why don't we make a bracha on demai? So the Gemara says that they, for a certain reason, they were mekil, and they removed the bracha on demai. But logically, the Gemara itself is the premise of the sugi is that there should be a bracha on demai, which makes sense if we assume that demai is b'toras, right. B'toras vada. If it's b'toras sofek, then we have the principle of sofek brachas lahakel.
Yeah, the only question I was questioning that is if you say b'toras vada, then it would seem only logical that the bracha would have to be l'hafrish demai. But you couldn't speak of truma specifically because truma is still a suffix. It's just that the only vada is demai.
Right, but it could be that once the Rabbanan instituted Dmai as a Vadi Tevel, then the next step is that you have to be Mafresh Truma in order to remove the Issa Tevel.
All right, so the second question I had was the Ukunta that you had is where he was Mafresh from Dmai for Meiser and so forth. The case they're bringing down is where he knows for sure that was Dmai. What if it was suffering Dmai? He didn't know.
Ah, so the question would be the following. If we say that Dmai is also B'toras Sofek, and now you have a Sofek Dmai, a Specs Maker. If on the other hand, the Rabbanon institutes Dmai B'toras Vadai, then a Sofek becomes a Sofek Rabbanon. And a Sofek Rabbanon Le'Isr might be L'Chumra, again, depending upon whether there's a Cheskas Isr or not.
That was my question. Do they mention how far they want this Yisur to go? That the Sofek becomes the Raisa? I mean, is it only by Dmai?
Interesting. In other words, basically, Herb, what you're saying is that any time we have a new institution where the Rabbanon are being machmir, despite the fact that the Torah has what to rely on to be mekil, we're always going to have to raise the question: how far did the Rabbanon go? Did the Rabbanon say, "Well, we want to be machmir Torah safek"? You know, the Torah has its various principles by which we can be machrias makers. We don't want to rely on those principles, or the Rabbanon saying, "No, we're going to have to create a whole new entity, and therefore it's also B'toras Vadai." So the two examples that we have so far are the examples of Dmai and the example of Ksamim. A third example, which I want to get to, is Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, because Yontif Sheni Shel Golios is also a kind of a Suffolk. Back in the day when they were Makadish Al Piriya, they didn't get the word on time in the far-flung places. The Shluchim didn't get there, and they didn't know where the previous month with the Chasar Moly, they didn't know exactly when Yontif is. So that was a din of Suffolk, and all the rabbinic requirements of Yontif Sheni Shel Golios are based on that Suffolk. Or did the Rabbanan go a step further and they created a Yontif B'toras Vadai? So that's going to be my third example. But before we get to that, because that's going to be the main sugya for today, I want to just sort of knock off a few minor sugyas, so to speak. Okay? First, I wanted to talk to you about what's called Cheskas Habatim, which means that if, let's say, Reuven owns a piece of karka, and he owns it, you know, Mikadmas Dinon, comes along Shimon, and he's squatting on the karka, he's a machzik, so the din is that in karkos, there's no such thing as what we call a cheskas tfisa, meaning I can't grab onto the karka. And therefore, when it comes to karka, the burden of proof is always on the machzik to prove that he indeed purchased the karka from the Murakama. And the only way he could prove it if he doesn't have a shtar that testifies the fact that he bought it is with cheskas gimel shana. Now, at the beginning of cheskas habatim, the Gemara talks about the following. What happens in the following strange scenario? Reuven is the Murakama, Shimon is the machzik. Shimon lives off the fat of the land for 3 years consecutively, but there's only one problem. He doesn't have any taina. He doesn't come forth and claim that he bought the field. So we have the reality of sitting there for 3 years, but there's no taina. And the Gemara establishes here at the very beginning of Cheskes Abatim, Chav Chesam Ibeis, that kol chazoka she'eni mataina, ain't a chazoka. That the chazoka is only there to support his claim. If he doesn't make the claim, we're not going to put forward that claim on his behalf, and therefore his chazoka is meaningless. It doesn't support any claim. And the Gemara
says, what does he say?
He says, nobody ever told me anything. You know, I never had anyone chepering with me. Nobody was maga. Nobody was ma'ara safek. And the squad is right. So the Gemara goes back and forth here that maybe there is such a thing as squad is right. But the Gemara rejects that idea and concludes that a chazok is only meaningful to support a taina, and it serves as a proof to substitute for a shtar, but there's got to be a taina. In the absence of a taina, there's no
chazok. You can be more simplistic. He says nothing. He says, I refuse to give you a taina.
Yeah.
You don't have to say
anything. Yeah, that's interesting, right? If he says that, but the classical case is lo amar li odo me'olam. So the Gemara wants to say the following. The Gemara wants to suggest that according to Holchei Usha, again, it's a complicated sugi that's not for us, we could derive Cheskas Gimel Shanim from Gimel Negichos of a Shor Amud. And the Gemara thinks that since the Shor was Nogeh three times, its status changes from that of a Shor Tam to that of a Shor Amud. And therefore, in the case of Karka, if we're deriving it by analogy to Shor Amud, the status of the ownership vis-a-vis the ownership of the karka changes after the Cheskas Gimel Shana, meaning each one of the years of Chazaka parallels one of the Negichos, and therefore at the end of the Sach HaKol of 3 years of Chazaka, it belongs to him, and that effectuates some sort of an ownership change. The possession of the karka now shifts from the original Arkama over to the Machzik. So the Gemara says, Elameyato, are you telling me now, Cholchei Usha, based on this equation to Shor Amud, that Chazoka She'ein Ima Taina Tehevi Chazoka, that now it becomes irrelevant, the Chazoka is meaningful in and of itself, not to support a Taina? And then the Gemara asks, Alama Tnan, why does it say in the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah later on in the Perek, Kol Chazoka She'ein Ima Taina Eina Chazoka? Now, in order to explain why Chazoka She'enima Taina in the Mishnah, and that's Lahedja, is not a Taina, the Gemara says, Taima Mai. And the Gemara offers an explanation as to why Chazoka She'enima Taina Lo Avi Chazoka. And the Gemara says, Dilma Kida Omar Hashta. He says that normally a Chazoka is meaningful because it supports the claim of the Machzik, but Iu Lo Toin, if he himself, the Machzik, has no Taina, Anan, the Gemara asks like a rhetorical question, Anan Liton Le, are we going to offer a Taina on his behalf? And that's how the Gemara is going to deal with and explain the principle of Chazoka She'enima Taima, Enima Taina Lav Chazoka. So Rashi, this is before Rashi died, I mean, unfortunately he died a little bit after this. This is one of the last Rashis in his lifetime. He writes, Taima Mai, what is the meaning of Chazaka, the reason for Chazaka? Taima Mai Amrinon, why do we say Shalosh Shonim, Mafkile Micheskas Marakamo, it leaves the Chazaka of the Marakamo. Rashi says, the Amrinon, Dilma Kida Omar Ihu. Okay? What does it mean, Kida Omar Ihu? I'll come back to the word Dilma in a minute, because that's my main point here. Kida Omar Ihu. Maybe the truth is with the Machzik, who puts forth the claim, Ani Omer Lekachtio Mimenu. I claim I bought it from him. Zeh Omer, the Marakama says, Gazalti Mimenu. He stole it from me. Says Rashi, Ein Anu Yodim HaEmes in me. We weigh these two claims, and the claim and the counterclaim, and we don't know who's telling the truth. How do I know which one is the liar? And this guy's accusing him of being a Goslin, this guy's saying that he bought it from him. So Asya in this context is Rashi. We need it. Kosav Ashlishi Akriyav in here. Rashi says Asya Cheskas Gimul Shanu, and then we say Muki Leber Shusei. Then we're going to say that his claim, the Chazaka of the Machzik, is true, and the Tanya of the Machzik is supported by that Chazaka that he actually purchased the karka, and that's why Chazaka She'eni Matayna Lav Chazaka. But it's very fascinating to me that Rashi adds the word Dilma. Meaning, I want to ask the following question. When you say Chazaka She'eni Mataina Lav Taina, which means that we return the karka to its original owner, the Marakam, are we doing that B'Torah's Vadai or B'Torah's Sofnik? Meaning, are we assuming that the Halacha knows, or let's treat it as if we know for sure that this karka belongs to the Marakam? Any, you know, questionable proof, which we're not sure about, is not enough to even create a dent in the Cheskas Marakama. Or do we say no? That, truth be told, we're in a suffix situation. I'll give you an example. In Metaltolin, again, this might not be so shayach in character, but in Metaltolin, when we return the Metaltolin to so-and-so, because we're not sure if it's his or it's not his, and the counterclaim has not been substantiated, we leave the situation where it is. You know what I mean? Status quo? Yeah. So for example, if I claim that you borrowed $1,000 from me, but I have no shtar to support it, and you claim, no, you paid me back. So in such a case, we can't force the so-called lover to cough up the money. Why? Because he's muktzah, and there's no proof, there's no clear-cut evidence against him. In that case, we always have to ask ourselves whether it's b'toras vaday or b'toras safek. What's the classical nafkamina rabosa between b'toras safek and b'toras vaday? The very famous of sugi of Tokfa Kohen on daf vavam and beisam, tfisa, whether tfisa operates. So again, whenever we decide based on a chazaka that we're going to leave the mamon in its muksa, in the hands of the muksak, in this case in karak in the hands of the markama, the question always arises whether that is b'toras vaday or b'toras safek, and it could be various implications. So take a look at Rashi again. Rashi has the word v'dilma over here. Rashi says, "Time am I amrinan shalosh shonim mafki lemicheskes marakama." The amrinan, because we say dilma kida omar iu. Rashi says we don't really know who's telling the truth. Ze omer lakachti omer, ze omer gazalti amimeni. V'einon yodim. Rashi says emes in me. And in such a case, we have two chazakas. We have the cheskes marakama, and we have the cheskes Hamachzik Achilas Hakarka Sholosh Shonim, and we're going to weigh these two chazakas one against the other. But Rashi says, if there was no taina, then the chazaka doesn't come to support the taina. But Rashi seems to assume that in the context of a taina, we have Einanu Yodim HaEmesimi. I thought that maybe from this Rashi you could derive the conclusion that the halacha of Cheskas Marakama is not B'toras Vaday, but B'toras. The Torah is Sofek. And therefore we say that if we don't know who's telling the truth, Muki Leber Shusei, we'll leave it in the hands of the Marakama. The Amir Dilma Kushtu, maybe he's telling the truth.
Why would they assume that it would seem that it would be logical to assume that if there was no error for 3 years from the Marakama, that it's because
the shtika of the Marakama
is a raya that it really belongs to.
Correct.
Right.
But it seems from the Gemara that shtika of the Marakama is only meaningful to support the claim of the Machzik. In and of itself, right, we're not going to be mafkia mama because the guy, we don't know why he was silent and he tolerated the situation for 3 years consecutively. But if there's a claim that on the part of the Machzik that he bought the karka, then the shtika of the Marakama could support the claim of the Machzik, and that's how Cheskas
Marakama. But then the Marakama could claim otherwise. The only reason he was shoseik because there was no claim from the other side. You know, why do I have to say anything if he's not making a claim? If he's making a claim, I'll dispute it.
Could be right. But for that, you'd have to see the sugyan sauce.
There's also a cycle there, because if there's not a modest, why should he make a claim?
Yeah.
If somebody comes and stumbles, I have to say something.
Now, I am very excited about Torah's Vade, Torah's Safek, here in Cheskas Avatim in a different sugya, and it's literally just around the corner. there's a famous case here, Machlok Shim Rav Huna Rav Chizda, Shtei Kitei Edim HaMachisho Zu Et Zu. You remember this sugya? So there's a treyu trey, and what happens to these two pairs of Edim respectively from now, henceforth, in the future? They want to come. Now we know that one of these two Edim purged themselves, right, and therefore they're possibly Edim. Or Rav Huna says the amazing Chiddush, Zuba b'fnei atzmo mido, v'zuba b'fnei atzmo mido. We can't mix match, you know, we can't take Reuven and Levi, Reuven from one card and mix them with Levi of the other card, because then we know one of them is possibly Edim. But Reuven and Shimon can testify on their own, on one case, and Levi and Yehuda on their own, and in each case we could say Uki Gavra Cheskes Kashrus. You know, each aid has a Cheskes Kashrus. We don't know that he perjured himself, and therefore we could accept his aidus. Rav Chizda Omar Bahari Sari Shakri Lomali. What headache do I want to? What do I want to deal with these Edim Shakranim? I know that one of these two Kitos is definitely Shakranim. And therefore, from now on, anytime one of these two kitas come forward in Beis Din, I have a suffix whether or not they're shakranim. So I was wondering, according to Rav Chizda, when Rav Chizda says, I disqualify each kat, henceforth, is that a din b'toras vadai or b'toras suffix? Again, the question of tfisa. Here it could be very appropriate tfisa, because we're talking even about metaltal and lav dafka karka. In karka, I don't know if there is such a thing as tfisa. For that, we need a chazak with a taina. But in metaltal, and if, let's say, according to Rav Chizda, Reuven and Shimon come to testify on behalf of, let's say, the lover, a simple case where they come to testify on behalf of the malver to claim that the lover owes him money, and Rav Chizda says, Vahari Shakri Lomali, I want to throw out these Edim. What does that mean? Does that mean these Edim don't register at all? They're zero on the Richter scale? Or do we say no? That Vahari Sari Shakri means we have a suffix. We don't know whether to trust them or not to trust them. We won't be able to actively take the money out of the hands of the lover and return it to the malver. But on the other hand, the lover does have two edim, suffix sheirim, suffix psulim, according to Rav Chizda, who are testifying on behalf of the lover, on behalf of the malver in this case, that the lover really owes him money. So what would be, that's what I wanted, this is Berzon's question, what would be if the Malveh would go ahead based on the two Edim that support him, which Rav Chizda says, Vahari Sari Shakri Lomali, would go ahead and be toe-faced the money from the Loveh? What would we do in such a case? So I looked in the Rashbam, now already it's Daf Lamed Aleph, so we're up to the Rashbam already, and he says the following. He says, Omer Rav Chizda, Vahari Sari Shakri Lomali, V'lo ya'idu b'shum edus sheba'olam the uki mamona acheskasei. But listen to the next line. V'lo notzienu misafek shema haedim psulim. And I see that the Rashbam added the word safek here, and I'm wondering if maybe what the Rashbam is trying to convey to us is that this whole din of Rav Chizda is only b'tara safek, meaning where there's a chazak and the Edim are now coming to be made against the muchzak, we can't rely on these Edim. Why? Because we don't have the power to take money out of the hands of the muchzak for suffix. But let's say the motzi decided to take the law into his own hands, and he was toe-faced at the moment. Now what are you going to say? We're going to say that we have to take the money out of his hands? How can you do that? Again, let's apply the same principle. Lo notzienu mi'am muchzak b'suffix.
Right.
And it becomes a tuck for coin situation. So I was thinking that maybe Rashbam holds Zeinu Chinami, Rav Chizda's halach is only b'toras suffix.
Could I ask you a side question?
Yeah.
What would Rav Huna do with the more about Shnei Shvilim?
Yeah, it does. It does remind us of Shnei Shvilim because yeah, I would ask Rav Huna that question, right? Rav Huna says, Zubov if they atzma. Oh, you said Rav Huna? Okay, good. So in Rav Huna's frame of reference, that Uki Eidev Echezka say, that's only until the point that we're not involved in a self-contradiction. But in the case where, like Shnei Shvili and Herb's case, where we know that one of the two individuals who walked down respectively the two roads definitely was metami himself, if they both come from Vasachas to ask the question, is Shneim Tmeim. We cannot demetire both of them based on the Cheskes Kashrus, because the Cheskes Kashrus can't contradict a Vadai. And so too, Herb says, Zubav if they atzvavidu, Zubav if they atzvavidu. But if we mix, if we cross and mix, then we know that for sure one of the two Edom is possible. So it's exactly like Shnei Shvit. Okay. Yontif Sheni Shal Golias. Back in the day, it was a suffix. That was when they were Kaddish al Piriyah. What about today? The Gemara says at the beginning of Beitza, of Minigav Oseinu Biyadeinu. So what are we doing over here? Are we duplicating the minig as it existed back in the day when they were Kaddish al Piriyah, and therefore it's only a suffix? Or is this minog creating some sort of new din, Bitoras Vadai? So I found on this issue none other than the Ramban, a Rishon. Where is the Ramban? Here, at the beginning of Masechet Ksubos, there's a sugya of a clash between Yontif and Avelus. Okay. And the Ran, at the beginning of Masechet Ksubos, in that sugya, quotes the Ramban. So let's give a little background. When a man gets married, he has what's called Shiva Simei HaMishta, and those 7 days have the status of a regel. On the other hand, if Rachmana Litzlan, a man buries one of his relatives, he has Shiva Simei HaVelus. So the whole Gemara revolves around this contradiction. What happens if immediately after he gets married, they bury his father, Nebuch, and now he's chayav in Shiva Simei HaVelus? So basically the Gemara establishes that he observes his Shiva Simei HaMishteh, and then after that he observes Shiva Simei HaVelus. So the HaVelus is lifted and postponed till after Yimei HaSimcha. And what does this remind us of? Kovers es meso beregel. That if a man buries the relative during the regel, they simply lift up the Avelus and they begin after the regel. The Ramban wants to know at what point, on what calendar date, so to speak, does the Avel begin counting the 7 days of Avelus, the Melos, or the minion of Shiva. And his question is, can he begin that counting on Yontif Sheni Shel Golios? So again, the Gemara itself is not talking about Yontif per se. The Gemara is talking about Shiva Simei HaMishteh. But the Ran quotes the Ramban in the paradigm case, because the Gemara's case is a sort of like a spin-off of the original. The original is the case of Kover Es Meso Berego. Dan? Yeah. I meant to tell you that we're going to start tomorrow at a quarter after six, if you can come. All right, so you know what? I'll, when you get there, I'll start something new, believe me, there, okay? Thank you. Let me read to you this Ran in the name of the Ramban. He says the following. Kevan de Chalalov Chasana, once he gets married, Havi Ligabe Kiregel, Velo Asya Avelus Vechal. So now the Avelus, when he buries his father after the wedding, is not Chal and it's postponed. The Intomer Vayom Misa Ukvura Machayb Avelus Doraisa. That's the Shitas HaGaonim, that the day in which the death took place and the burial took place, assuming it's on the same day, that's called Avelus Doraisa. And if that be the case, how could Shivas Yimei HaMishteh, which is only Drabbanon, how could that have the power to be Doch HaVelus Doraisa? Lav Kushahi. De Bezdin Masnim Lakar Dovmen HaTor B'Shevi Altas. Okay, that itself is an amazing but that's not... Oh. Then he says the following. Okay. He says, Hiksha Ramban. Ladas Hagon Zal Shaomisha Kovers Meso Baregel Afa Pisha Eno Noeg Avelus Biyontif Achron. On Yontif Sheni Shel Golias, he cannot be Noeg his Avelus. Again, it's the classical case of Kovers Meso Baregel. Mikomakon Olahu Laminion Zion. He can begin to count his minion of Shivi Sve Avelus on Yontif Sheni. Kevin Durak de Rabbonon. Since Yontif Sheni is only the Rabbonon, Therefore, for some strange reason, it can count as a Yom Avil. Again, when he says it can count as a Yom Avil, not in the sense of Niyu Gavelus, that he can't do. He's got to wait till after Yontif for that. But he can at least count it as a day of Avil. Simkain, if this be the case, Frekta Rabban, Yalulo Zayin Yivei Mishtal is Zayin Yivei Avelus. He's left with absolutely no days of Avelus, because all 7 days of Mishteh for the Chasen are all Drabbanan. And if the rule of the God is that a yom regel Drabbanan, like Yontif Sheni Shel Golias, is all the minyan Shiva, then in the case of Shiva's Yom Mishteh, which are all Yomei regel Midrabbanan, they should all be all the minyan Shiva, and he's left with nothing. So what does the Gemara mean when it says that he starts his Shiva's Yomei Avelus after the Shiva's Yomei HaMishteh? So the Ramban gives two answers to this question. And I'm going to switch around the order. The first answer is very complicated. Maybe we'll get to it. But I want to suggest that we study the second answer of the Ramban, and then we'll ask ourselves why the Ramban didn't accept the second answer, and he gave the first answer, which is so much more complex. I'm anxious to just get this out. You know, it's like a Novi Akovish es Nivoso here.
We got faked out here. The question is not a question, because the question is because on the last day of Yom Tov, which is Durabonin, it counts Ludminui, but still you have to hold Yom Tov, right? So you're not being doicha the Rabbanan for another Rabbanan of the dihui of the Avelis. Now the same thing is true here when Yeshiva Yirei Mishta, which is the Rabbanan.
Yeah.
And so even though you count the Shiva,
right?
But he still has to hold the Shiva Yimei Mishta, because that's equivocal to the last day of Yom Tov.
Right. No, but the Ramban's premise is that there's no such thing as Niyug Avelus without the Malos. The Malos. You need the counting. You need the Yimei HaMinyan. Okay. If the Yimei HaMinyan in the Drabbanan regel are Ola the Yimei HaMinyan in Avelus,
right,
then all Shiva's Yimei HaMishta are Ola for the Minyan of Avelus, then there is no Niyug Avelus. You can't have Niyug Avelus without a Minyan.
Right. Right.
So the Ramban gives the following answer. And he says the following. Shiny Yontif Sheni. Yontif Sheni is different. And that's why we can count it as a Yom Avil. The Hu Suffolk. It's a suffix. In other words, there's a possibility that it's not Yontif at all. Even after the Rabbanan tell you to observe Yontif Sheni, but they're only telling you to worry about the possibility that day is Yontif. Now, with regard to Avelus, meaning counting the minion, we have a principle called Safek Avelus Lekula, Kidekaimel B'moikot Daf Yudches, Halacha Kidivre Amekel Ba'ovel. The cave on the Efsha Shuchol. Afal pi she'eino noeg bo avelus. Okay, we don't need the niyug avelus in order to make it olah l'minyan shiva. We need just the possibility that it's a day of chol, meaning it's the chalos yontif that makes it impossible to count that day as a day of avel. But here, it might very well be that it's a day of chol and it's not a day of yontif. On its side that it's a day of chol, it's olah l'minyan shiva. Lamaisa, we can't allow him to be Noeg because of the din of Yontif, but as far as being Ole, we're allowed to introduce Safek Avelus Lekula by saying that maybe this day of Yontif Sheni is really Chol. Masha'enken, he says, Aval Yimei Amishte, Hein Vadai Didivrehem, and therefore it's not Ole Leminyan Shiva. Clearly, the Ramban is operating without Chakira. In fact, I would quote this Ramban as a source, as a primary source for our Chakira of Din Vadei and Din Safek with regard to the Rabbanans.
Right.
This, in both cases, whether we're dealing with Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, or we're dealing with Yimei HaMishteh V'Chasen, and we're dealing with Eid Rabbanan. But the Ramban says, nevertheless, despite that similarity, there's a fundamental distinction between the two. In the case of Yontif Sheni, we're dealing with a Safek Derabbanan. And even though the Derabbanan say that we have to be Noeg Mishteh and Simcha and Achilas Basar and Shnius Yayin and Isa Malach and the whole 9 yards, but nevertheless it's only B'tar Safek, it might be that that day is Chol. And the Halacha recognizes that possibility. Masha'en came in the case of Yemei Mishteh, there the Derabbanan instituted a day of Yontif B'taras Vadai. And then Afkamina, the Ramban wants to say, is Sufik in Ovel. When you have a question as to whether or not it's a day of Yontif, and the Rabbanan establishes as a Sufik, but I could always introduce that side that it is not Yontif. That side allows me to activate the principle of Halacha Kedivrei HaMekil B'Ovel. And therefore, I have a right to say that on that side of a Sufik that it's Chol, it's Ol Minyan Shiva, and he saves himself one day of Avelus. Masha Enkin, when it comes to Yemei Mishteh, says the Ramban, that's considered a day of Vadai. And since it's a day of Vadai, albeit Midivrayim, the Vadai Midivrayim makes it into a day of Yontif. It's invested with the character of Yontif, and therefore it cannot lend itself to be a Yom Avelus, and I can't count it in the minion of Shiva. And the question I wanted to ask you is, if this Lumbus is the Ramban is so excited about it, then why did he give the first Teretz? Again, I'll just read to you the first Teretz. I don't know if we should get too sidetracked here. He says, the Bishlei Mahasam Hu Demekayim Avelus B'Shar Yomin. When are we allowed to cut down the Yemei Avelus and say that a day of Yontif Derabbanan, like Yontif Sheni, can count and be older to the minion of Avelus and subtract one day from his Avelus? That's because he will be Noeg Avelus during the remainder of the balance of those Shivas Yemei Avelus. Not on the first day, because it's Yontif Sheni, but on the rest of the days. Amol Hacha, but here, Imata Omer Yalu Leminyan, if you can apply the principle that a Derabbanan, a Yontif Derabbanan, can count as Yemei Avelus, Nimtza Shalo Yekayim Mitzvah Avelus Klal. Okay, that has to be ironed out. But perhaps, I don't know if you're thinking on the same wavelength as me, perhaps the reason why the Ramban was not so quick to the draw to offer his second answer is because maybe the Ramban holds that even Yontif Sheni is B'toras Vadai and not B'toras Sof.
But according to the second answer, how does the Ramban explain why you should put on filling on Daniel Rafa?
So again, you have to know a lot about Yontif Sheni in order to understand exactly how they established it. That's what I'm saying, that the nature of that suffix is such that when there's niyug Yontif, there's no tefillin. That's part of the thing of Yontif Sheni, of niyug Yontif.
But Shemit is chol, and he didn't.
It doesn't matter, because once it's a mitzvah of niyug Yontif, that mitzvah of niyug Yontif undermines the mitzvah of tefillin. But again, you have to know all the details.
You can also ask from
You step ahead of me here. Beautiful. Where is the issue of Yontif Sheni? It's right here in the Rambam and the Raivid in Hilchus Yontif. And that's Herb's case. What does it say here? The Rambam says, Perek Vav Mehilchus Yontif Haloch Yiral, Shnei Yomim Tovim, Shecholu Lios Bechamishi the Erev Shabbos. So you have Yontif on Thursday and on Friday. Ose Eruv Tavshilin Miyom Revi Shu Erev Yontif Umasan. He makes the following Tanai. He says the following. The Omer. Okay? So now what's happening? Yontif Sheni is on a Friday. And Yontif Rishon is on a Thursday. Normally we would make an Erev Tavshilin on Thursday. Correct? But the problem is that Thursday is Yontif.
Right.
So he says he makes it tonight. He says the following. Im hayom Yontif ulo machar chol. If tomorrow on Friday is chol, is avashel v'ofel l'shabbos v'ein tzar klum. So I don't need an erev at all. Correct? Let me go over this one more time.
Right.
If Friday is indeed chol, then I don't need the erev. I'm going to cook tomorrow for Yontif without an erev because it's chol. V'im hayom chol ula machar yontif. If today is chol and Friday is yontif, is the erev zeh yatali lefos levashal machar yontif l'shabbos. Good. That's the sugya of Tanai. Now, again, there's another halacha here which I don't know if we have time for, about shtei kalkol shel tevel, also, again, yon, eitna. Says the Rambam, b'mei dvar ma'amurim, b'shnei yomim tovim shel golios, aval b'shnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam applies the principle of what? Of Yom HaRichta. Then the Rambam says, halacha yidalit, kol advar me'il shamarnu, hayu bizman shayu bezdin shel eretz yisro makachim al pi re'iyah. For you bnei agolios osim yom tivsheni kedelis talik minas sofek lufishalo ayu yodim yom shekidshu bo bnei eretz yisrael avol 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 hayom shebnei eretz yisrael sonkin ala cheshbin thanks to Hillel Hashemi umakachim olav ein yom tivsheni listalik minas sofek. Yom tivsheni is not a sofek. Ulaficha chani omer eino ma'ariv Umasne bizman hazeh. There's no possibility.
Ein yom
tivsheni lehistalik min hasofek. Kidei, I'll add the word kidei. The Rambam doesn't have it. Ein yom tivsheni kidei lehistalik min hasofek. Meaning, it's no longer sofek. If it's no longer sofek, we have to treat both days the way we treat Rosh Hashanah as 2 days of yontiv, and there's no possibility of tanai. And the Ravid writes, Afal pishi yesh bedvarav ke'ein tam. That's a hodas faldin on the part of the Rambam. That maybe there is a little bit of a shvek of a tam in the Rambam. Lo ra'inu ha'gaonim varishonim shecholku bedavar. We never found the Rishonim and Achronim, and the Gaonim and the Rishonim, who said that it no longer applies today. And the halacha of Tanai applies today as it did in those days. Because I think the Rambam is saying that the din of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golis is a suffix din, meaning our minog is to extend that suffix. Ki'ilu we had a suffix today, but it's only been Torah suffix. It's Mimela Mimona Shel Tanai should operate. We'll see if Mitzvah Shem how this impacts on Beitza Shen Olda Bezeh Muteres Bezeh. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Yom Tov Siman Tov Tzadi Zayin, and he speaks about a case of suffix seder. In other words, we're not sure exactly. He set out his traps to catch fish or birds or whatever it was on Erev Yontif. On Yontif, he finds the bird trapped. He wants to shecht it and eat it. But he's not sure, because if it was trapped on Yontif itself in the early hours of the morning or late hours of the last night, then it's not Mukhan. If it's not Mukhan, it's Mukhtza. But if on the other hand it was trapped already before Yontif, he has no way of knowing. So therefore the Mechaber says, Sofek Tzeda Asur. Okay. Next, says the Mechaber, that's in Sif Gimel, now in Sif Dalid, Sofek Mukhan, but in that case of Sofek Tzeda, which we don't know if there was an Achana, there was an Achana, was there already a Tzeda before Yontif or not? Be Yontif Sheni Mutter. On the second day of Yontif, it'd be Mutter. Why? The Havi Sfek Sfeika. Number one, we don't know if it was already Mukhan. And if it wasn't Mukhan, we don't know which day is Yontif. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sfek Sfeika, Shema Eina Yom Yontif. Vafilim Timtzalom Hashem Yontif, Shema Nitzod Me'esmo Lukfar Hukhan Hu. And therefore, we can be Matir Mitzum Sfek Sfeika. Then says the Mishnah Berurah, "V'yesh cholkin v'zeh, u'sfilahu lididan yontif sheni lo mitam sofek hu sharei b'kiyum onu b'kviya di'archa." I have no doubt he's referring to the Ravid. No, I'm sorry. I have no doubt that he's referring to the Rambam, right? Sharei b'kiyum onu b'kviya di'archa v'yodim onu shuhu chol elo shanachem v'kaimim Yontif Vadai Midrabanan. The Mishnah Berurah was a big lavdin. I'll only say that when it works in my favor, you should know. But no, he really was a big lavdin. He was a big lavdin. He wasn't Reb Chaim, but he was a big lavdin. And he says that that Yontif Sheni Bizmana says a Vadai Midrabanan. Nenele ain't canela suffic echad viasur. The Yesh Lahachmik is far as zu im lo b'makom hefsid. So on both sides, we now have a double machlokus, and it's all the same. It's all one shorish, but two nafkiminis. One is whether or not you could have a hasna, and you could say mimanashach, one of these 2 days is Chol, and therefore we can matter the Erev Tavshilin. And the other question is whether we could create a Svek Svek in a case of Safek Muchan. And it all depends upon the Geder, the definition of Yontav Sheni Shel Golis. Is it B'Toras Vadai or B'Toras Safek? Now, Reb Chaim in the Sefer has a different question here. He touches on our issue, but not exactly head on. Because he has L'chora Stira in the Rambam. Because the Gemara says in Masechta Beitza that Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Golios, Rav Omar Nolda Bazeh Muteres Bazeh. And the Gemara explains what's the Tam of Rav. Because Yontav Sheni is Mishum Sveika. In Alkein HaBeitza Muteres Mimonavshah. You may matter this beitzo with a mimonavshach. Again, the same idea that we said before by Tanai. Because chad minayu vadai cholhu. Correct? So, let's say beitzo shenol debezeh was born on the first day. Nuf was born on the first day. I can eat on the second day because the second day, if the first day is yontif, then the second day is chol. So for sure I can eat it. Elo what, maybe the second day is chol, then the first day is chol, his first day is chol, and chol is mechil yontif. So the Pella is that the Rambam, L'chora, is Soser Es Atzmo. The Rambam himself paskins that Nolda Bazeh Muteres Bazeh, like Rav, and yet the Rambam paskins that there's no Din Bezman Hasev Hasna because our Yontav Sheni is B'Toras Vadai. Now, Vanira Lomar B'Das HaRambam. Now here, Reb Chaim comes up with a very profound idea. And he says that there are two types of sfeikas. There's one suffix which combines the 2 days together as one unit, and there's one suffix that's chal on each day independent of the second day. Mm-hmm. And that's how he's machalik between the question of hasna in Eruv and the question of nolda bezeh muteres bezeh. Enochinami, he says, me'ikra adin shnei yomim tovim shel golios lo asom Sheyinugu shneim ki achas b'toras vada. Not the way we said it, that according to the Rambam, each day is b'toras vada. Elo sheyinugu shneim b'toras sveika. V'yachol gav di'achshav anachnu yadina, harei yadina b'kviyus v'di'archa, mikomukom dina havirak mishum sveika. Kema di'ikra takoni mi'ikora kach hoysa, u'mirgav oseini v'yadeinu. So the Rambam also maintains that Yontav Sheni is midin sofik. However, here's the limitation rule. Hare kol zeh lo shayach el al din yontif sheni shel golios. He says that if you take both days together as one entity, then enochinami yontif sheni has a din of sofik. He says, who de amina de din of akis feker? Masha enkein, when you separate the two, yontif rishon, so again, as long as I connect Yontif Rishon with Yontif Sheni as one body, as one indivisible unit, then I can always go back to what it was at the state of the 2 days Yontif Bizman Kinshal Piriya, and we didn't know which day was in fact Yontif. However, if I want to isolate Yontif Rishon, and the din is determined by Yontif Rishon as a separate, independent entity, not as a unit. Came on the hashta, now bisman azel leka sveka. You can't apply the din of Safek today to the first day of Yontif. Yadina bevadi zel zmano shal Yontif. Hareyuki Yontif shal Torah. It's a Yontif Torahisim. Kein havi vadai. Which is going to make it impossible for me to use the Tanai that we spoke about before. Integration with the Sheni, Hareyu Rak Sofik, Lufiza Shapi Yesh Lechalik Midin Asna, Midin Nola bezem uteres tezeh, but he didn't nolad ha'isur nasirak mishnei yomim biyachad. Okay, this is the tifa lomdus here of Reb Chaim that we have to figure out. He says that Nola depends upon the tziruf of these 2 days together. Talokenu ikar isur de nolad, mashen nolad biyontif, asur biyontif. So the isur here is because of the combination of the 2 days. In other words, in order to aser nolad bezeh, we have to do it because we integrate both days together, and in that case we said it was a din of suffix, and then we could apply nolad bezeh mimon of shafmut teres bezeh.
So if there were 2 days yomtiv, one after the other, 2 different yomtivs, then we call nolad? If it did Pesach after Shavuos?
I don't know.
Right? That seems first to imply, right?
It's
maybe
both
right.
Yomtiv, but it's not.
But what does he mean here? This is the key line when he says that the din nolad ha'isur nasarak mishnei yomim v'yachad. What does he mean by that?
And that was, it has to be that it's one that something that was nolad today is also today.
Right.
But something that was nolad on Pesach is not also on Shavuos.
Right.
So if it's each one is a yomtiv as a suffix, but it's not both days one yomtiv.
You mean
then he says kshanu bonu. As far as the din tai, that's already each day's in and of itself. Okay, Rabosai, I tell you what, I'm going to give a shia now for my chumash class on. I want to talk a little about a different kind of yomtiv. And b'li neder, give me a little time to digest this, because this Reb Chaim is very, very profound.
This far, if you go back to the